Well, we'd like to give you a warm word of welcome along to our evening service here in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church. We're glad of those that are joining with us on the internet, and we are glad that you are tuning in with us. We welcome the Reverend Craig Dennison, who is our guest preacher this evening, and also we'd like to thank Miss Joanna McCammon, who will minister in song, and we're looking forward to the meeting this evening. But before we hand over to the Reverend Dennison, who will open in prayer, he will hand back to me for the announcements. But before we do so, we're going to sing the hymn, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed Through the Blood of the Lamb. And the words will be on the screen. Join with us as the hymn comes up.
Once again this evening, it's good to be with you. We're going to turn in the Word of God, first of all, to Psalm number 8, as we read the Word of God together, and then we will pray. Psalm 8, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come with the psalmist tonight, and we echo this great sentiment. How excellent in all the earth is thy name, O Lord. It is our privilege tonight to come and to worship thee, to give to thee the adoration that is due to thy thrice holy name. For we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thou art the one who has ordained everything, the stars in the sky and the planets in the universe. And Lord, thou also has an interest and a care for us. We marvel to think that even the very hairs in our head are numbered by our God. And Father, whenever we think of what we have done against thee, of how we have broken thy law, and of how we have blasphemed and cursed thy holy name, yet, Lord, thou hast been merciful to us, and we see this in the giving of thine only begotten Son, to hang on that cross of shame, to bear our sin upon his own body on that tree. Father, we thank thee this day for Christ, the one who has done all things well, and we rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that we can enjoy through his precious blood this evening. And Father, as we gather here, we rejoice in what thou hast afforded us to do, to meet in a fashion even over the internet like this. We know that many of our brethren in far off countries would be persecuted, perhaps even put to death for meeting together over the internet, for putting a video online of the preaching of the gospel. And Father, we pray for the persecuted church tonight. Pray, Father, that thou would be pleased to encourage them and strengthen them, and that thou would put thy protecting hand upon them, and that thou would increase them, even in the nations where they be, that they would see many added to the church, even those that should be saved. And remember our missionaries too, in the many corners of the world. We thank thee for those who have gone to take the gospel to the uttermost parts. And we pray, Father, that thou would bless thy word, that the Saviour himself would see of the travail of a soul and be satisfied in these nations. And that, Father, the Saviour would be the desire of all nations. That men, women and children of every tribe and tongue would come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. And Father, we pray for each one who is watching in tonight. We think of families and pray for thy blessing upon homes. We think of children, and we're so thankful for little ones that thou hast given to so many. But Father, we pray that the children would be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that Father, they would be kept by the power of God, that thou would preserve them from falling and from turning aside from the ways of God into the ways of the world. Father, it is our desire, it is our great petition to heaven tonight, that thou would gather our little ones into the kingdom of God, and that they would love thee, and that they would walk with thee. Should there be any in our families who have turned from thee, who resist thee, and who have not yet come to saving faith in Christ, we pray that thou would draw them to thyself. Let us have the joy of seeing that family circle completed in Christ. Father, we thank thee for thy love to us, for thy perseverance with us. We ask thee tonight for the forgiveness of every sin. We ask, Father, that our eyes would be fixed upon Jesus Christ, that we would ever be looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. So bless our time together tonight around thy word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm now going to hand back to the Reverend Dean for the announcements.
To thank Joanna for ministering in song. We will be hearing Joanna again before the Reverend Dennison comes to bring God's word to her heart. We welcome you in our Saviour's name, and we welcome our visiting preacher this evening, and we pray that God will bless the preaching of his word tonight. Now, just to remind you of some announcements for the incoming days. Do remember our prayer meeting on Thursday at 8. Because of the lockdown, again, it'll be on the internet, but we want you to join in with us and to hear the word of God there. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school is at 10 a.m., done by FPC Kids on the Facebook. And we, if you have children, we'd ask you to tune into that. And they are doing a wonderful job there with the FPC Kids. Then our service at 11:30 and 7, and I'll be the preacher in the Lord's will again, sermon audio and on Facebook. And could I remind you of the family and friends meeting on the 31st and the evening, and the Reverend Raymond McLernan, we hope to have given his testimony. And again, it's going to be over the internet, but nevertheless, we want you to make that known, particularly people who are involved in the loyal orders. You can remember that his testimony has relevance to that, and we want you to tune in and to hear how the Lord saved him and what the Lord has done in his life. Those are the announcements, but we're going to sing a hymn before we come to the preaching of the Word of God. It's the hymn, "All Ye That Pass By, to Jesus Draw Nigh." Now, the words will be on the hymn, or on the screen rather, and they'll come up. After the hymn, Joanna will sing for us again before the Reverend Dennison comes to preach the word.
Thank you.
Chapter together this evening. Colossians chapter 2, commencing at the verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joyful and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding to the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honour to the satisfying of the flesh. Amen. And we look to the Lord for his blessing upon his precious word. Let us unite together in prayer as we come to the word of God now. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that thou hast not left us fumbling in darkness to try and find thee or to find our way to heaven, but thou hast given us the light of thy word to illuminate our souls and to lead us unto thyself. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the sacred pages which are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, Father, we ask thee now that as we come to thy word, that thou would minister to our hearts. We need to hear the voice of God. We long to see our Saviour afresh lifted up before us. So come, Father, and minister to us this evening hour. We ask thee in Jesus' name. Amen. My text for this evening can be found in the verse 10. And it's a very simple phrase of the Apostle Paul to describe believers. He says, "And ye are complete in him." And it's those three words, "complete in him," that I would like us to think upon here this evening. The Apostle Paul had the highest possible calling in life, the calling to preach the gospel. Now, the preaching of the gospel is not always happy and wonderful times. It's a great gospel to proclaim, and it's a privilege and an honour to do it. But because of the hardness of the heart of man, there is often opposition to the preaching of the gospel. There are those who are angry and annoyed whenever they see sin being preached against and men being told they need to be converted and born again if they are to see the kingdom of God. There's also a devil who is seeking to hinder the work of God, as he sought to hinder the word in the Garden of Eden, and as he sought to bring down Adam and Eve, so the devil continues to seek to do that work today in hindering the building of Christ's kingdom. As the Apostle Paul preached the gospel throughout various parts of the world, he saw much blessing. He saw many souls converted. He saw many people repent of their sin and turn away from them and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. He saw many people grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. He saw new churches established. He saw places that were once heathen centres transformed and turned upside down by the preaching of the word. But sadly, the apostle also saw much satanic activity as well. Many of the Apostle Paul's letters, epistles, were to churches which had suffered satanic attacks. Corinth, for example, had been affected by immorality amongst the congregation, and this had become accepted by some. Galatia was facing pressures to revert back to Judaism. Ephesus had converted Jews who were inclined to be exclusive and separated from the Gentile believers. But what about this church at Colossae that we're reading about tonight? Paul wrote this epistle to the Colossians, to the church at Colossae. Well, Colossae and the church there had those who were mixing Judaistic teaching with Oriental and philosophical speculations. We see that in verse 8. The apostle warns them quite explicitly. This isn't a general warning, this is a specific warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So Paul here was warning them because this was a problem in Colossae. There were those in Colossae as well who were still holding to the Old Testament practice of circumcision, saying that you need to be circumcised to have salvation. So in short, they were practicing a false gospel in Colossae. They were bringing false teaching into the church. They were saying that the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation is not enough. You need more than that. You need Christ plus circumcision. And we, of course, know that this is not true. The Lord makes that abundantly clear in his word. But whenever we think about false teaching, what are the biggest problems of false teaching? Well, ultimately, false teachers and false teaching take away the glory from Christ. They direct attention away from the Savior himself onto either another person or another doctrine or some work or activity that we have to engage in. False teaching obscures our understanding of our relationship with Christ. That is broken and damaged with false teaching. And the end result is that we suffer spiritually as a result, because our eyes are not fixed upon Christ. Our eyes are diverted to other things. The Apostle Paul goes to great lengths to correct this false teaching that circumcision is essential for salvation. And in order to correct this false teaching, this heresy, he uses a wonderful phrase: complete in him. That word complete in the original Greek is the word pleroo, and it can also be understood as being full or filled to the full. So imagine, for example, a jigsaw puzzle. Whenever you put that last piece on, if you can find it, the jigsaw puzzle is complete. It's finished. You take a glass of water and you fill it to the absolute full, so you can't fit another drop in. You would say it's full. It is, in a sense, complete. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul is looking to cement in the minds of the believers at Colossae. He is showing them that in Christ you are complete, you are full. There's nothing else you need to add, nothing you need to do. There's nothing missing. In the eyes of God, you're perfect in Christ. You are complete in him. And that's not to say that we are made perfect, and that as we live out our final days here on earth, that we're perfect beings, because we know the truth to be very different. We still have those sinful inclinations. We are still that wretched man, and we see ourselves to be the chiefest of sinners and the least of saints. But the Apostle Paul is showing here that if we're born again, if we've come to faith in Christ, that in the eyes of God, we are complete in him. And this is a truth that many believers struggle with today. They fail to fully comprehend that they are complete in Christ. There's many, and they maybe think, well, I'm half complete, I'm 99% complete, but I need to finish the rest. There's many, and they hope to add things to their life to make them complete. They hope that being a good neighbour will make them fully complete. Getting involved in religious activity will make them complete. Well, no, dear friends. The simple reality is this. If the Lord Jesus Christ has not made us complete in him, then he has not accomplished what he set out to do. Three simple headings I want to leave with you tonight as we think upon these words, complete in him. We have a complete Saviour, a complete salvation, and a complete sanctification. So first of all, a complete Saviour. We are complete in Christ because he is a complete Saviour. He is a Saviour who has completely accomplished everything that he set out to do. First of all, we can say that he is perfect in his person. Christ is complete in himself. Being God, a very God, being the God-man, he is himself complete. There's nothing missing with him. He is the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God. He is the one who is perfect in holiness and in righteousness and in justice. Well, what we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is one who in himself is absolutely perfect and complete. So we're not looking today to a Saviour who's incomplete, a Saviour who has a few troubles and worries. No, dear friends, we are able to trust in one who is absolutely perfect. Perhaps whenever you go to the doctors or you go for an operation, you might be worried if your surgeon, your doctor had a shaky hand as he come to apply the scalpel to you. You would say, well, he's not perfect. He doesn't have perfect control over this. Well, the Christian is one who is able to rejoice today and be comforted today because they have a Saviour who is perfect and complete. So we're looking to one who is complete. So he's perfect in his person. He's also perfect in his work. Dear friends, we are able to rejoice in Christ today because the work that he has done is a perfect work. The Lord Jesus Christ has not merely started a job and failed to finish it. No, he has made a perfect atonement. There's many today, and they look at the cross as if it was an accident, that Jesus didn't mean to die on that cross. Well, dear friend, if we read Scripture, we will see that this is the plan of God from beginning to end, that God would send his perfect Son, his Holy Son, who would take all the guilt of his people upon himself, and on that cross of Calvary, he would give his innocence and his perfect righteousness to those people and take their guilt and punishment upon himself. So the Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied the wrath of God for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ has made an atonement for the souls of those people whom he came to save. The Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished redemption for his people. So he is a complete Saviour. He is a perfect Saviour who has made a perfect atonement on the cross of Calvary. That is why our Saviour cried out in his dying breath, "Finished," because his work of atonement was finished on the cross. How do we know it was accepted? How do we know that it is effective and effectual before the eyes of a holy God for us today? Well, we know because the Lord Jesus Christ rose triumphantly from the dead on that third day. Having defeated death and conquered death for all of his beloved people, he rose triumphantly from the grave and then ascended into the glories, where one day he assures us he is coming back to receive us unto himself. So we have a perfect Saviour, a Saviour who has made a perfect atonement. But our Saviour's work isn't finished. His work of atonement is finished. There will be no more suffering for sin, no more blood shed. But our Saviour's work of intercession continues for us today. The Bible teaches us that we have a Saviour seated in heaven who ever lives to make intercession for us. What a comfort that is for us today, to know that there is one in the glory who bears the marks of our redemption upon his body, who is praying for us and interceding for us at the right hand of the throne of God. He's making that perfect intercession. And we know that the Father will not reject and cannot reject the intercession of his beloved Son. We have a complete Saviour, a Saviour who rules over heaven and earth. Oh, Satan is not in control. Satan is not one who has authority above God or our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. No, our Saviour himself is one who rules in heaven and in earth. He has sovereign control over all the affairs of this world. That is why he is a complete Saviour. He is a complete God. He is a complete King. And he's a Saviour who is coming in power and majesty and glory. He said to his disciples, John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." What a comfort to know that our Saviour is preparing a place for his people in heaven. That our Saviour is coming again to take us to be with him for all eternity. Dear friends, we can be comforted today. And we can be encouraged because we have a complete Saviour. Jesus has not done a half job and left the rest up to us. All that we have is complete in him. So whenever our Father looks upon his people, whenever he looks upon those believers in Christ, he doesn't see them still in their sin. He sees their Son in him. And that's why, dear friends, we are comforted to know that we have a complete Saviour. Moving on. We don't just have a complete Saviour, we have a complete salvation. The Apostle Paul often used this phrase, "in Christ." And it's a wonderful phrase. It's a very simple phrase that even the boys and girls listening today will understand. You're either in something or you're out of something. You're either in the house or you're out of the house. You're in the car or out of the car. And so it is with our Saviour. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. And it's a very simple way to see your standing with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has enabled us to be in him. Not to be half in or half out, but to be in him. And that's because he has made a complete atonement. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ has not died on the cross and suffered for most of our sins, or 99% of our sins. All of our sins, all the sins of the past are atoned for. All the sins of the present are atoned for. All the sins of the future are atoned for. The Lord Jesus Christ has atoned for every single sin of his people. And that is why, dear friends, we can say it is a complete salvation. Because the Saviour has completed it for us. If the Saviour has made complete atonement, and he shed his blood to make atonement for our sin, so that our sins can be removed from us as far as the east is from the west, then that means, dear friends, we have a complete pardon. And what a mercy that is. For we are those who deserve to stand before the face of God on that day of judgment and be cast into the pit of hell forever for all of our sins against him. But the Lord Jesus Christ has secured a complete pardon for his people. He hasn't said, "You'll have to spend so many thousand years in purgatory and then you'll enter heaven." No. He hasn't said you'll have to suffer for a couple of years in hell and then you'll enter heaven. No. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our advocate, as our mediator, has secured a complete pardon before our Heavenly Father for all of our sins. If you were in prison for something and your lawyer pleaded with the judge and secured for you a pardon, the judge might say, "Well, you have to spend the rest of the day in jail and then you can be pardoned and then you'll be free." Well, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has secured an absolute pardon for us. We will not face punishment for one single sin because because the Lord Jesus Christ, taking those sins upon himself, has suffered and died for us. He has paid the penalty of God's wrath so we could have a complete pardon. Well, a complete pardon means that we're completely forgiven. What a mercy that is. We don't deserve to be forgiven by God, but it's of the mercy of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are forgiven. Now, sometimes people on earth, whenever we wrong them, they might say, "I forgive you," but they don't really mean it. They're going to hold it against you. They're going to bring it up at a later time in the future. Whenever you've forgotten about it, they'll not have forgotten about it. Well, it's not the case with God. Believers have a complete forgiveness. He will remember our sins and iniquities no more. They will be placed in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Not that God forgets in the same way that I forget, but that God chooses to remember our transgressions no more, because he looks upon us as being complete in Christ. That means a complete forgiveness for all of our sins against him. It means that we're completely justified. We stand before God just as if we had never sinned. We stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Christ. All our righteousness has been taken from us. Christ bore our unrighteousness on the cross of Calvary, and he has given to us his perfect righteousness. So we stand before God complete in Christ, clothed in his perfect garments. A complete salvation means that we're completely reconciled to God. Sometimes, dear friends, we can be reconciled to that family member or friend that we have fallen out with, and it's never quite the same again. There's still those feelings of hurt and that have cropped up. But it's not so with God. Although we have sinned against God and grieved God with our iniquities, the Lord Jesus Christ has completely reconciled us to him. We will enjoy with God that perfect relationship that Adam had in the Garden of Eden, because what the first Adam lost, the last Adam has restored. So we're completely reconciled. We're also completely part of the family of God. We are adopted into the family. We are heirs together of the grace of life. We are not still the wayward and the prodigal. No, we are those who have a seat at the table. We are not those who feed off the crumbs that fall down. No, we are the sons and daughters of God, and we have that privilege of being adopted into his family. And it's a complete adoption. There's many sad tales here on earth of couples who maybe adopt a child, then they find that child is difficult, or they maybe find they're not able to cope, and then that child is then put up for adoption again, rejected by its adopters. That's not the case with God. Once you're adopted into the family of God, you're adopted, not just for life, but for all eternity. It's a complete salvation. It's a complete adoption. And that means that we're completely assured our place in heaven. The child of God is as sure of their home and mansion in the sky because Christ has promised it to them. And he has secured for them that complete salvation, meaning that they will be with him for all eternity. Sometimes we maybe doubt if something is too good to be true. The bank sends you emails saying, warning you of scams, saying if it's too good to be true, then it probably is. And the truth is, dear friends, that you and I don't deserve the mercy of God. We don't deserve the forgiveness of sins. We don't deserve a free, full, and perfect salvation. So is it too good to be true? Well, dear friends, we cannot fathom or comprehend why God would extend his grace and mercy to us. Whenever we examine our own hearts and our own sinfulness and our own unbelief, we're not worthy of his grace or mercy. But that's exactly what it is. It's grace and it's mercy, giving to those who don't deserve it. And sadly, some people, they doubt it's too good to be true, so they try to add to it. They try to make themselves acceptable before God. They try to think that they can impress God. Well, dear friend, you will never impress God more than his Son impressed him. The perfect Saviour has procured the perfect salvation, and you cannot impress God with that. Your own efforts are only vanity. So we should rest and abide in the knowledge that Christ has made that perfect salvation. And we should encourage ourselves that we are complete in him. Well, thirdly and finally here today, it's a complete Saviour, it's a complete salvation, it's a complete sanctification. Now don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that we will be perfectly sanctified in this life. The work is begun in this life, but it is finished in glory. But it is complete in the sense that it will never fail to be accomplished. So it is a sanctification that will be completed. It is guaranteed to be completed in glory. Now there are some projects that get started in this life that never quite get finished. I have a few of those in my home, and I suspect you maybe have some in your home as well. But this is a project that is guaranteed to be finished. Our sanctification will be complete one day. Well, think about some of the aspects of sanctification that will be complete one day. Wisdom. All the wisdom that we need for this life, God has given to us. Everything you need to know is found in God's precious word. Everything you need to know about God, everything you need to know about yourself, everything you need to know about salvation and how to live the Christian life is found in this book. But there's coming a day whenever we will have that perfect knowledge and that perfect understanding whenever we're in glory. And we'll have perfect wisdom. We'll also have perfect faith. At the minute, during our earthly pilgrimage here, our faith is often weak and our faith is often incomplete. But there's coming that day when our faith will be complete. Whenever we see him whom our souls love. And now we suffer an attack upon our faith. And our faith is at best very poor and weak. But we look forward to that day when our faith is 100% complete. Whenever we stand in glory and fix our eyes upon our beloved. Another thing that will be complete is our holiness. Our holiness is complete in Christ at the minute. Now that doesn't mean that we're perfectly holy in this life, but it does mean that our standing before God legally and judicially is one of perfect holiness. God looks upon us and he doesn't see our sin. He looks upon us and he sees the holiness of Christ. That's amazing, because we know ourselves still to be sinners. We know ourselves still to be rebels and wretches against God. But legally, in the eyes of God, we have that perfect standing. And there's coming that day whenever we will be transported to glory. And there will be no more sin. There will be no more lust of the flesh. There will be no more wayward words. There will be no more bitterness in the heart. There will be no more corruption of the flesh. We will be perfect and complete in holiness in heaven. And that's a great thing to look forward to. It's a complete sanctification. It's complete. Some people think it's maybe wrong to enjoy the Christian life. That it's wrong to be happy and cheerful. To be smiling and praising God for what he has done for us. Some people, judging by their behaviours, think that being a Christian has always been miserable, complaining and fault-finding. No, the truth, dear friends, is that a Christian can rejoice in any time, in any place, and in any situation. And here's the reason. They are complete in him. The Christian who's suffering in the hospital bed, in pain and agony, waiting for the operation, waiting for a diagnosis, waiting for the medication. Even in those times of pain upon the body, they're able to rejoice because they're complete in Him. That saint, he's getting ready to leave this world and pass into the next. They are able to rejoice because they are complete in Him. The prisoner, like Paul and Silas, are able to rejoice because they are complete in Him. Yes, we must search our hearts. We must always be seeking to root out sin. We must fight the corruption within and without. But the Christian should be a joyful soul because they're complete in Him. Well, coming to a close here tonight, Christian, you can comfort your soul day and night with this glorious thought. You are complete in Him. There's nothing you can add. There's nothing anybody can take away. You are complete in Him. But what about the one who is watching here? And you're not in Christ. You're out of Christ. You don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't know the joy of sins forgiven. You are still walking that broad road that leadeth to destruction and damnation. What hope is there for you, dear friend? Well, you have two options. You can either continue in your sin. You can continue to reject Christ and continue to reject His overtures in the gospel. You can continue to live for the pleasures and vanities of this life. And then whenever your time comes to leave, you can breathe your final breath and go out into eternity. But dear friend, if you do this, know this, that if you die without Christ, if you leave this world out of Christ, you'll open your eyes in hell, being in torment. That is what God makes abundantly clear in His word. God, who cannot lie, teaches us that those who reject Christ, those who are not in Christ but out of Christ, will be lost forever. What's your first option? Continue without Christ. But your second option is this: be found in Christ. Be in Christ. And you may be saying, preacher, how can I be in Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me, believe upon me, repent of your sin, believe the gospel, take up your cross and follow me. He's promised that if you come to Him, He will remember your sins and transgressions no more. He will forgive and pardon you. He says, come to me. Dear friend, that's what you need to do. Leave the broad road, join the narrow path. Turn from your sin today, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, and you will understand and comprehend what it means to be complete in Him. Nothing you need to add, nothing you need to do. Christ has done it all, paid the penalty for sin. He extends His mercy to you today in the gospel, and He calls you to come to Him. Let us close our meeting tonight in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for a Savior who has made a full atonement on the cross of Calvary, a Savior who has a full salvation that He grants to His people. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for a risen and glorified Savior seated in glory, praying for us, and who will come again to receive His people to Himself. But Lord, we make it our prayer to Thee that if there's any who are watching in who are still strangers to grace, that Thou would awaken them and call them to Thyself, that they would know the joy of what it is to be in Christ. So forgive and pardon our sins. Bless us in the incoming week. Let our eyes and our hearts be fixed upon Thee. We ask in Jesus' name.